Welcome to Talk Safety to Me, a podcast from the North Dakota Safety Council, where we discuss safety at home, in the workplace, and in our communities. Recorded at the Radio Access Studio in Bismarck, North Dakota, you can find Talk Safety to Me on 102.5 FM or online at radioaccess.org or ndsc.org.
Hello, I'm Chuck Claremont, and I'm the CEO of the North Dakota Safety Council, and more relevant to you, I'm the host of the Talk Safety to Me, the North Dakota Safety Council podcast. Hey, we have our Senior Marketing and Communications Manager, Tia Streeter. She's producing today and sitting alongside me. Good morning, Tia.
Good morning.
And we have Kathy Zander. Kathy, you're our third most tenured employee. How about that? You're our Community Safety Program Manager. We're going to hit all kinds of topics in this podcast. We got some free events at the North Dakota Safety Council we're going to talk about. We're going to maybe dive into what community safety really is and how the month of September there's a free training opportunity. So, Kathy, let's get started. How's everything with you?
Fabulous, Chuck. First day of school. We had a heck of a morning, but we're on the right track. So we're
pictures,
ready to
roll. I hope. First day of school 100%. Pictures this morning. Okay, yeah. Tia, you probably had those too.
Yes, we absolutely did. Yep. Everybody was loving it. First day of middle school, first day of first grade.
Thankfully, no more first day of school pictures for me and my kids. They're
we can
they're
still
done.
Take one of you, Chuck.
You could. I'm sure you could. So you've been with, I said, quite a while. To be exact, May 16th, 2011. That's a long time. And nowadays, with people changing jobs so frequently, and you know, it happens a lot, that we are surely grateful that you've stuck around for over 11 years. And, you know, tell us about how you got started with us and kind of all these, you know, the paths you've wound your way through with the Safety Council.
Absolutely. So almost 11 and a half years ago, I kind of walked away from a job that wasn't exactly a healthy job and landed myself actually in a very healthy spot. But interesting enough, I walked into a building with roughly 11 or 12 people in it and went, oh no, what did I get myself into? So at that time, things looked a whole lot different in our office. We literally had a system of registrations where you walked to the front desk, you wrote a name in a book for a class, and you called it a day. We graduated to a shared file, an Excel spreadsheet, if you will, and we used that for registration purposes. And wow, now we have this full-fledged website that people can register themselves, and it's pretty fantastic.
Technology is a good thing.
Technology is a great thing most days.
Most days, yeah.
When it works.
Well, when it works, exactly. So yeah, so that's surely getting you from the change in our technology stuff. But for you, your role has changed with the Safety Council over the years as well.
Absolutely. So when I walked in the building, I was hired on as more of an administrative assistant. I helped with the front desk when necessary, mainly dedicated some time in the traffic safety department. And I think at that point, I was probably 30-ish hours a week starting out. So my role and my function looked a whole lot different. Fast forward a few years, I've been through actually a couple of different roles, from Operation Lifesaver State Coordinator to Community Safety Manager. So it's been interesting.
I was wondering when I wrote that question, I was wondering what your path was going to be. Yeah. So it's fun to hear it.
Yeah, it's been great. It's just been great to see. Like, I keep telling people, what's the most fun part about my job is watching people like you grow. And, you know,
and literally coming in at that entry level position and working your way up through the company has been, it's been a challenge and it's been fun.
Yeah. And seeing how, you know, how people take ownership of their positions, they take ownership that as they're kind of a leader in the organization, and clearly with you, with not just your tenure, but your voice. And I think what's great, Kathy, is, and I mean this in sincerity, that it's nice that you can speak up, that you're unafraid to, you know, say what's on your mind, and you say it in a good manner. You know, some people have a tendency to say things that don't come across as maybe constructive, but I would have to say that you've, and you know, how have you created that gift over your life that you've been able to talk in a nice professional manner, and you can get your way without being too negative.
Are we talking about my gift of sass, Chuck?
Yes, we're talking about your gift of sass.
So I think several years ago, I just adopted a thinking behind me that I treat and talk to everybody exactly the same way. Doesn't matter who you are in the organization. Doesn't matter if you're coming in and you're cleaning our toilets. It doesn't matter if you're the CEO, Chuck. I will talk to you as I talk to everybody else. I may have a filter sometimes. I may not. It depends on the day. I'll say that out loud, but I just think through my different opportunities, different employers, I've been able to grow that voice, and I found my voice, and my apologies. It's not going away.
You don't have to apologize.
That's why people love you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's for dang sure. And so lately, or the last position you're working on right now that you're in charge of, your program manager and community safety, you talk about growing. I mean, it was from literally a class to now it's one of our, or is our fastest growing program that we have. And talk a little bit about community safety, what it is and you know, why you think it's grown so much.
Absolutely. Where I think we came from, community safety, better known as home and community back in the day, fast forward to community protection, community safety, we started out as more of a resource, if you will. So if somebody needed a resource or a tip sheet on heat safety, water safety, whatever it might be, they contacted us, we gave them that information. Same thing with the drug take back program. They would reach out to us and say, where is the nearest drug receptacle that we can drop these in, so on and so forth. And I will never forget, literally in my first days of this position, my predecessor saying to me as he was working on a quote for an assessment, don't worry, you'll never have to do these. Well, here we are, probably 80% of my job is now consulting services. So we're moving and grooving. And I just think the way that the world is going right now, there is a need. There is a need in the schools. Yeah. There is a need in the workplace. It kind of blows my mind where we are right now compared to even a couple of years ago, to be honest.
And so much of it is who we have in our working force right now. Obviously, Don Mosman, Eden Willis, Dennis Snodgrass. We've got people that have backgrounds in EOP and, I mean, emergency operations planning and active shooter things and pieces like that. And I think the beauty of the Safety Council, maybe you can touch on this, is how we've taken the skill set of the employees that we hired and we've really expanded that.
We have, and I think every day we explore a new skill set. Every day we learn a little bit something more. Eden, for instance, great, you know, background in behavioral sciences and different things like that, where he can talk about suicide prevention. He can shoot from the hip, and we can provide that for behavioral health reasons. We've got Don, who has the background with not only Highway Patrol, but also the Air Force, so he's able to step in and talk very logically about active shooter, you know, and not a positive subject whatsoever. Yeah. Most people will view that as negative. In fact, in reading some evaluations this last week, I stepped back and went, to hear a person say, this man can take a negative topic and present it in such a positive way and convey that information, absolutely blows my mind. It's so great to hear. It's just enlightening.
So another area within our community safety program that's been really successful is our responsible beverage server program. Unfortunately, too many times people are drinking and driving, and it can, one of the prevention is it can start with people that are serving the alcohol. Correct. Can you talk a little bit more about responsible beverage server, what that is, and you know what we have a course on it as well, and kind of give us all the gamut of it?
Absolutely. So responsible beverage server was designed to help educate owners, managers, servers, and sellers at alcohol establishments about strategies to avoid illegally selling alcohol to underage youth and intoxicated customers. So the programs that we teach, we have three different classes. We touch on basic servers, we talk to owners and managers, and we also talk to large event holders. Now, a few years back, we actually received a grant, which I think we're going to talk about a little bit more here too.
We can talk now. Go ahead.
Let's talk about it. So that grant actually kind of fell in our lap, and it gave us the opportunity to rebuild, redesign, and redo the entire program. From that, we were able to recreate our online training. We were able to build a full-fledged train-the-trainer program and an instructor-trainer program as well. And we've also received enough funding that we were able to do a full-fledged digital marketing campaign we're hopefully looking at our third year coming up here shortly. So that has been essential in driving people to our website to take our free online training. Thanks to these grants, we are able to provide that training at no cost currently.
And we say that again.
No cost. Free. Free. Free, free, free. So we hope to be able to continue providing that to all of our liquor license holders as well, and our servers, owners, managers alike.
What are the numbers? You know, I know that we've got people obviously taking the online classes, the in-person.
So in-person is kind of dialed back, and I don't want to say that in a negative tone, but I think what has really helped right now, having online training available any place, anytime, whenever it works best for you. And we're finding, even just hosting a train the trainer program yesterday, our public health units are saying the same thing. Ideally, we want to be in front of the face of the person that we're talking to, but next best is the online training. So I will tell you, the first year we did this back in 2001, we doubled the number of online training sessions. And I think by now we've probably quadrupled. So we're probably looking, our goal this year was about 1,500 online servers. And I think we're pretty close. We're just coming up on that year.
And really what it does is it puts the power kind of in the servers to let them understand that they do have the power to make decisions like that. And I know that I live up at Hawktree Golf Course, and I know that we've taught up at Hawktree a couple different times, and talking with some of the servers who've taken our classes, it really is that confidence to them knowing that they are in a position of making a decision like that, and then being supported by owners. It really, I mean, it's a great thing for servers to be able to have the knowledge of what they can do, because it not only helps them, but it surely helps not put somebody behind the wheel, you know, that might be intoxicated.
Absolutely. We've heard words like empowering used when they found they could use their voice and cut people off of service and do the right thing for the right reasons.
And do it in the right way.
Exactly. 100%. And that's a lot of what we teach in this program as well.
So September's coming up. I mean, what is it? It's the 25th, so it's just a week around the corner. So we've got a lot of free offerings. You said free before, but people can take this free online responsible beverage server training. How do they take that?
Correct. All they need to do is register at our website, ndsc.org, and they will receive a login and password, and they will have 20 days to complete the session itself. Right now in North Dakota, our process is that once you take the course, you are certified for 3 years to continue teaching. We give you a card, you present it to your employer, they keep it on file, and after that time, come back to us, and hopefully by then, we'll still have free training available.
And it's a state requirement. They're taking it for a reason.
Correct. Several cities and counties in North Dakota do have ordinances that mandate they must attend server training in order to be gainfully employed in an organization. Not all cities, not all counties, but a majority of them, and we're hoping through some legislation that we can make it mandatory across the state of North Dakota.
Yeah, I think it's a very quality training, and we're surely excited at the Safety Council to be able to offer it. And so, kind of rewind, we mentioned some other programs within the community safety area, and active shooter is one of them, emergency operations planning is another one. So we start talking about the current world we live in and what's going on. Unfortunately, we can't turn the news on where there's some type of emergency happening, whether it's an active shooter, whether there's some other major thing happening. So when you get these calls, and I'm guessing you get a lot more calls maybe than you did 11 years ago when we first started.
Daily, if not hourly. I mean, things are, you can tell there's a difference in our environment, in our society, even in our own city.
Right.
There is a definite need for these courses, which I probably wouldn't have said a couple of years ago. But I, in the last 3 days, have had three school districts, not schools, but districts, reach out to me saying, we need this. We need your help. We need to make sure that our teachers feel safe. We need to make sure we can keep our students safe. What do we do? How do we do it? So those are some very long and entailing conversations, but great conversations with great outcomes.
I mean, surrounding that, there's courses that are tied to that too. We have reasonable suspicion classes and other things that again, are empowering teachers to be able to understand more with when they're in situations and how to react to them preventively.
Correct. See something, say something. Same thing with our teacher safety in the classroom. We're teaching teachers techniques that they can protect themselves and, again, their students from other potential injuries in the classroom as well. So there's a lot of things in my world. I always say I have the fun department. Mm-hmm. I get to play outside the box, and I get to do self-protection, and I get to do reasonable suspicion. And we talk about the violence prevention programs and the EOPs and the assessments, and some of that oftentimes seems a little heavy, but we present it in such a way that it is very positive and very empowering.
Yeah, empowering is just it's a great word that I've talked to different people, like teachers who have gone through our classes, whether it's our self-protection classes or reasonable suspicion, or have gone through one of Don's active shooter type classes, that knowledge is power.
Knowledge
understanding
is power.
What's out there and what you can do and how you can affect the situations is, you know, it's no different than first aid, understanding how to, put first aid. How about that?
Wow. Interesting.
First aid.
Was the
John Muta and Sarah
again.
Were they here that put that on?
I don't know. We were excited. We scratched the record for a quick second.
Active shooter
impressive.
Emergency operations planning. It sets us apart from others at the North Dakota Safety Council for lots of reasons. Yes. What's in your opinion? Why is it that people should be taking it from the North Dakota Safety Council?
We believe that we've created the most comprehensive product. And what I mean by that is we're utilizing best practices from and principles from places like Department of Homeland Security, FEMA, U.S. Secret Service, the FBI. We also work with the National Crime Prevention Institute. And all of our plans cover fire, evacuation, lockdown, active shooter, bomb threats, severe weather, et cetera, et cetera. So we've really developed an overall comprehensive product that gives you, it packages everything into one product. It's not a little piece. We don't just touch the surface. We dive in deep and we give you everything you need.
And there's additional training. I know that our lead instructor, training director, Don Mosman's taken for school assessments.
Correct.
That he's got a certification. I can't think of the name of it. It's like
SEPTED, but it all stems from the National Crime Institute, National Crime Prevention Institute, where we can talk to people about not only what's going on inside the building, but it also talks about the flow, how people are getting to your campus, through your campus. It establishes, do you have a celebrated entry area? You know, are you putting bollards up to keep people from crashing through your front doors? And it talks about even trees and the level of branches and being able to have a clear view into the parking lot. So again, a huge step beyond what anybody else is doing currently.
Yeah, and then it's about, to me too, it's about instructors that can put it on intelligently.
Absolutely.
And effectively. And like anything else, the content can be the best, but when you sit down and you have an instructor that puts you to sleep or PowerPoints you to death, our guys don't do that. I mean, we've got,
correct,
with between Don and when Eden is getting involved into it, and I know that Dennis Snodgrass and Minot has done a lot of EOP and things in his past, that you can sit with those guys and, you know, all of a sudden you look at your watch and it's 8 hours later and you're like, holy cow, that's not enough.
Where did the time go? Yeah. And another thing I think that sets us apart is after we write the program or the plan itself, we work with the first responders and we make sure that we are providing instruction, clear instruction that they will also follow, that we let them lead the charge. And even after that, we come back and we provide key training to those employees involved in the plan. So we're giving them direction as to what is my role in that plan? How do I perform this? What does this look like,
right,
on a grand scale? We don't just hand you a plan and say, put it on your table. No, this is a living, breathing document. We want you to exercise it. We want you to use it. We want you to grow it. So
I have a quick question. Has it changed your view working on all of these EOPs and dealing with active shooters? Because it's obviously not something that was originally in your background.
Correct.
Now it's something you're living on a daily basis. How's
that changed things? It's given me a lot of more insight. Sometimes that can almost be scary. You know, knowledge is powerful.
Absolutely.
And it's great. But I feel much more relaxed and confident in the conversations that I carry with my own children about how do you exercise these practices in school? God forbid it ever happens.
Yeah.
What do you do? Well, the first thing we need to do is train our children to follow their teachers with some basic knowledge. Once the teachers are trained, then I feel very confident in what they're,
yeah,
doing. So I probably didn't have that confidence a few years ago. In some places, I still don't. But knowing what is happening right here in our own school districts, it impresses me. There's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot more we can do. But we've got a great start.
Yeah, awesome. I completely agree. So, hey, it's time for our Talk Safety to Me Would You Rather quiz. Are you up for it, Kathy?
Let's do it.
Okay. So, would you rather spend a family hockey weekend in War Road, Minnesota, or a spa weekend with the girls?
Oh, my goodness, Chuck.
I know they're both offer a lot of different, you know, things.
Oh.
Pretty opposites, but
I love nothing more than to spend time with my kids, and right now that's that stage of life where I am. So knowing me, the mom in me would probably venture out to the hockey tournament, but I love me a good spa day. I'm not going to lie. Maybe we could do the spa day in the middle of the week versus the weekend.
There you go.
Let's go with that.
You get both?
There.
Yeah.
Both.
I like that.
Both is the answer.
That's probably something that should be offered to you, because I know when those there's got to be some breaks in those hockey weekends,
yeah,
isn't there?
No. But you could hope for them. We just returned from one of those weekends, and let me tell you, they are exhausting.
Yeah.
They are tiring, they are exciting, but it is the best use to family,
yeah,
time. And the side note to that is we get to meet some of the most fabulous families and,
yeah,
spend our time with them. We've kind of pushed our traditional vacations to the side, and now we take hockey weekend trips, no more vacations, but that's the season we're in, so,
yeah,
we'll continue doing it.
I mean, they are vacations, and, you know, Tia's gone through it with her kids, and going through it, I should say.
Yeah.
I'm gone through it with my kids.
You're ready.
It's the friends that you meet, and not just the kids' friends, but their parents that you end up being friends with for a lifetime.
I just sat in a parking lot last night and had an hour-long conversation with one of those hockey moms, and we talked about those relationships and how you have literally met your lifelong friends. You thought you did that back in high school? Maybe, but that's not the case. These are our adult friends. These are the people that we will carry through to the end.
Oh, for sure.
Great support system.
Is it true, don't get a hockey mom mad at you? That's the worst thing.
I wouldn't suggest that, Chuck. Okay. Remember that sass we talked about a little bit ago?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're on the same page.
Bring you to the rink.
Part of that voice? Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Okay. We're going to switch gears here a little bit. We're going to talk about an event that the North Dakota Safety Council has coming up here in September. It's called Safetember. The event September 13th from 2 to 8 p.m. We're going to have training showcase, demonstrations of a slip simulator, self-protection demonstrations, fire extinguisher demonstrations, as well as multiple active shooter demonstrations, drone tower rescue demonstrations. It's going to be a really, really cool day, I think. Again, September 13th, 2 to 8, free food, live music. It's all on our NDSC campus, 1710 Canary Avenue in Bismarck. So I wanted to talk to Chuck a little bit about this because you've been with the Safety Council, is it 15 years?
It'll be 16 years in January.
Almost 16, mm-hmm. Okay. So this is your first ever Safetember event. We've never hosted a Safetember, at least under this name. We've hosted other events. So why did we decide to hold this?
Well, we've been in our building now for, it'll be 5 years in August. Actually, it was 5 years. No, mm-hmm.
August 14th.
August 14th, thank you.
August 14th, all right.
So we just passed 5 years in our building. Yeah. And it's a couple things. One, we want to celebrate that because that's pretty cool for us. When I think back 16 years ago when we were in the hotel on Main Street in a back room that, you know, I don't even want to start describing how that office was. It was horrible. To where we have came to today and in this gorgeous campus that we are so thankful for the funding that all of our donors gave us and the hard work that, you know, Kristen and Business Development and others made to bring that funding in, and then thankful to our partners like Gate City Bank who provided us with a very affordable loan. So when you think about that, to see where we came from and where we are now, it is a reason to celebrate. And I know that the people that have worked at the Safety Council have taken such great care of our safety campus and our facilities. We have people coming into our building going, I mean, is this brand new? And it's 5 years old. So we want to celebrate that. And that's one thing. Another huge thing is next February is our 50th conference.
Yeah.
And that's pretty amazing. You know, when you think of all the businesses that are coming and going, you know, around the country. To be able to be around for 50 years, like the council's been here a little bit longer, but to have 50 conferences, that's absolutely a reason to celebrate. So we're trying to do kind of two things in one, where we celebrate 5 years in our facility, in our building and on our campus, and then 50 years at conference. Obviously, conference will have a lot more cool things that are happening in February, but for sure in September, we wanted to have an outdoor event and doing some of the activities you mentioned.
Yeah, awesome. Well, we've got a ton of safety partners because I think that's really what makes the Safety Council so special is we've got so many great partner organizations. Highway Patrol is going to be there, Bismarck Police, National Guard. They're bringing a helicopter, or a Black Hawk helicopter, not just a helicopter, a Black Hawk, just to name a few of the people that are going to be there. Why should the public come? Why are we inviting them? What are they going to get from that day?
Well, we mentioned free earlier. Okay, free things are good.
Free's great.
Free food. You get a free concert. You get all these cool demonstrations you get a chance to see that you might not get a chance to see other than, you know, what we talked about, drone rescue. Well,
right.
Hey, we're going to do a sample drone rescue. We have to the west of our campus, we have some water retention area that's got a lot of trees and bushes and whatever. We're going to try to hide somebody out there. Maybe Kathy, maybe you're going to volunteer to hide.
Yeah.
And then we have a drone that's going to find you and it's going to be able to, we're simplifying really how the rescue techniques happens, but that's one of the activities and get a chance to see that. You mentioned active shooter. Well, I can't wait personally to get a chance to see. We're doing three. Thank you, Kathy. Three different active shooter scenarios. Mm-hmm. So those are all going to be throughout the day. So you get a chance to come and watch that. I mean, that I think for the public to come and see that alone, to see how the Bismarck Public Police Department, I think we have the Sheriff's Department, we have Mandan supporting. There's a lot of different groups locally that are going to be part of that. And so that's really exciting to be able to see that. If you haven't seen people work at our rescue tower, we have some groups some rescue teams with Marathon and with North American Coal. They're going to be there. They're going to do some really cool rescue attempts. You're going to get a chance to see some rope rescue off our tower inside. And if you haven't seen that before, that's pretty amazing. So just, I mean, some things like that that the public wouldn't normally get a chance to see. And then just to come in and get a chance to, you know, maybe get some more history of the Safety Council and walk through our facility. And then, of course, as I mentioned again, there's free food. We're going to be cooking brats and hot dogs and hamburgers probably, and then get the chance to see Don Mosman and his band. What's the brand called?
Nerve Impulse.
Which they,
yep, I got you guys.
thank you. You know, pretty popular band around the city, and be able to get a chance to see an outdoor concert. Let's cross our fingers and hope that the weather's going to hold.
Right. But
fall, nothing's better than fall weather. Mm-hmm. I mean, how about last night is 75 degrees. The wind goes down most evenings. So we're hoping that it can be just a fantastic event to celebrate that. And, you know, I think it's important for you kind of touched on it, to be able to celebrate our partners in the city and the state that we work with so closely. I think it makes the North Dakota Safety Council unique, and that we work with so many different groups. You mentioned Highway Patrol and police and National Guard, and these are, you know, all just some of the few groups that we work with so closely that we've really developed some phenomenal partnerships with those groups over the year, and they're all going to be here. I mean, they're all going to be a part of it. Yep. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Awesome. Well, that's all I got for you, Chuck.
That's it? That's all you got for me?
Well, that's all I got.
That's easy enough.
Yep. You gave them the invite.
Yeah. So it's September 13th, right? 2:00 to 8:00 at the North Dakota Safety Council campus. I mean, and there'll be a schedule that we'll put out so you can come. You don't have to be there at 2 and stay till 8.
Right. It's kind of an open house feel.
Yeah.
You know, people can come as long as they want. If they want to stay all 2 to 8, that's great. But if you only have 30 minutes or an hour to drop by, we just, you know, want to be able to have stuff that's going all day.
Yeah, take a look at the agenda. So there's going to be some giveaways too. We didn't mention that. Some other demonstrations we're going to go through, some equipment demonstration and stuff. So it's just going to be a great event. And it's going to be on our website. Want to get more details? Obviously, go out to our website, ndsc.org. You're going to get more there. So thank you for our awesome guest today. Kathy, you are so relaxed, so smooth. I'm so grateful that you've been with us for the 11 plus years you have. We really appreciate you being here. A great conversation. That's all for Talk Safety to Me with the North Dakota Safety Council. We'll have more episodes dropping soon. Stay connected, and more importantly, stay safe out there.
Thanks for listening to Talk Safety to Me, a podcast for the North Dakota Safety Council, recorded at the Radio Access Studio in Bismarck, North Dakota. Find our podcast, safety training options, information about our annual conference, and more at ndsc.org. You also can listen to Talk Safety to Me on 102.5 FM and online at radioaccess.org.